gentlemen, please take your seats. The spotlight is about to begin. Good evening, everybody. I'm Mystery Matt, and you're listening to the Mystery Matt Spotlight Podcast. This evening, we are talking about an ancient tale, a sea tale, one of woe and fancy. That was off the top of my head, so that's not so bad. Anyways, this evening, I'm joined by Sarah and Nancy.
Hello.
Which, if you play that all together, hello, that all rhymes. So, yes, we are talking about mermaids tonight. And we've got everything from, like, historical accounts and mythological accounts that Sarah and Nancy have found. And then you've got the more conspiracy side thing that I found and sent to them. So we're all relatively up to speed. A couple surprises here and there. But I don't know who wants to start where. Nancy wants to start. Go, Nancy! Give her!
So I'm going to start. We kind of divided it up between like European and Norse. And I thought there was more. I thought there would have been more Norse.
I just couldn't find it as easily. But I also wasn't as focused this week because I've been sick. So my focus hasn't been the greatest. So I apologize. My research level this week is...
It's not often that I have more research than you.
Right? Who did Greek?
I did Greek.
You did Greek as well. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with European, and they are fabled marine creatures where the head and upper body of a human and tail of a fish. They are also called sirens. However, there's a difference, and I'll explain that later. They are believed to have natural powers like fairies, prophetic as well as prophetic powers.
We're short on those at the moment, so I thought I'd fill in. Jesus Christ. What? Some of my best friends have been fairies. Sorry.
We're going to get canceled. I'm like, we are under explicit, right?
It depends. Some people like want to be called that over other terms that refer to the same thing. It's a preference. You don't just like throw it at anybody, you know, because most people don't like it. But some of them say, no, I'm a fairy, straight up. And they tell you. Some of them are proud of it. But anyway, carry on.
I said, they have a love of music and they're known to sing. This was interesting. They are considered mortal, but they have no souls. So are they all ginger?
That explains the Little Mermaid cartoon, doesn't it?
It does, yes. You're welcome.
Oh my god. Yes, she went there, people.
Oddly enough, I have her gingers, laughing though, made a mermaid.
There was a joke my brother sent the other day, and I don't know if this is going to be in poor taste or not, but because I have ginger, so he sent me the joke, and it was, how do you extinguish gingers with chemo? So the hair falls out, they're no longer ginger.
Oh, that's horrible.
I'm like, that's kind of a bad joke. And then I was like, because I said this to my son, and he looked at me, he's like, but I would still have the same skin tone and I still look like a ginger without any hair anyway.
Sometimes it's just a facial expression, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, gingers are so pale. I always joke that my kids are translucent and they glow in the dark.
I'm albino, so I got you.
Yeah.
Ginger, but with a soul.
So the European folklore says that they are kind and known to be dangerous to men. And it's always just to men, not to women.
I'll sneak peeking.
I know. I have any eyebrows today.
So
I didn't bring my emotional support eyebrows.
For one, for the longest time, only men were allowed at sea. It was bad luck to have a woman or a horse on a boat. In case you wanted a horse when you got to the other place you were going.
Yeah.
But it was bad luck to have either. So
I kind of had a little bit of a feministic kind of point of view where it was men made up mermaids into like these women that lured them and killed them and they were, you know, manipulative and all this stuff. And it's like,
well, we did touch on one thing where the succubi and mm-hmm. stuff like that. They're actually all male, but take forms of sirens and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I was on that one.
Yeah.
And they take different forms. They're not, they don't have a gender or right. like a biological gender, but they shapeshift.
So first they get it from the men at sea that are all lonely and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Right. And then later on their men form or whatever does the rest of it. Right. With the ladies that are lonely at home, I guess. I don't know. I don't look into how often yeah. they copulate.
Their gifts were known to bring misfortune and if offended caused floods or other disasters. To see one on a voyage was an omen of a shipwreck, and I do remember hearing that. And they sometimes were known to lure mortals to their death by drowning.
Yeah.
But it's saying that where the mermaid tale came from was from a dugong or a manatee, are considered by some to be the reason for the legends. So the difference between what a dugong had, what was it, more like I know manatee has like, no, the dugong had the whale tail. Is that what it is?
They both have paddle-like tails. The difference, I think, comes into the size of the tail. I think the manatee tail is, I think, I might have this ass backwards, no pun intended. I think it's more of a wider, rounded tail. And I think the dugongs are more, it's not as wide, but it's more fan, like a little more bit of a fan, like, but very slight. Not really fish-like, because fish go, which way is this? Horizontal? Oh,
yeah.
Vertical. And then whales go, and manatees go horizontal.
Yeah.
But I think it had more of like a more detail. It wasn't like a complete clean circle. It had more like a little bit of knots in it that look more like fan-like, but not really fan-like. And I think dugongs are smaller. I should have looked further into that, but I also thought that my head would know the difference, and I didn't. I don't know why my head's not working.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Onward.
Yeah, my head's not working.
So from there, we move to ancient Greece and Rome. It's very close to the European mythology. The Greece and Rome considered sirens to be the same as mermaids, but now they are considered different.
Yeah.
So a little bit down, I'll talk about that. They have different characteristics.
In Dungeons and Dragons, they're different too. Yeah. They have similar characteristics, but...
So there was a famous Greek folklore tale claimed that the Alexander the Great sister, okay, I can't pronounce this name, Thessalonike?
I think so, Thessalonike. Sounds Greekish.
Yeah, was transformed into a mermaid upon her death in 295 BC and lived in the Aegean Sea. So you can remember writing. Whenever a ship passed, she would ask, "Is King Alexander alive?" If the sailors answered correctly, stating he lives and reigns and conquers the world, I'm going to call her Thessa.
Thessa works.
Thessa would allow the ship to continue on its journey. If any answer was said to anger her, she would conjure a storm and doom this vessel and its sails and his sailors to death at sea.
Even after that king was dead?
Yes.
Oh.
So you always had to answer with, "Yes, he is alive."
Neat.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
That made me a little sad.
Aww.
Sorry, I'm like had a brain fart. So, Eastern European. They called it Rusalki. Translated as mermaid or water nymphs. And so of this is Slavic mythology. Initially regarded as benevolent spirits of fertility and agriculture, they gained more sinister description in the 1800s. They were believed to be the ghosts of women who died violent deaths by drowning. In their anger and sorrow, the Rusalki now lured men and children to their watery graves. So wow. That's how they, what they believe to be their background for mermaids. Western European calls them Melusine, which is a feminine spirit found in many medieval European folktales, has a serpent or fish tail, and sometimes has wings.
Oh, wings.
Yeah. Hungary, France, and Germany all have different accounts of the Melusine or Melusine. The most famous legend describes her as a willful girl who tries to get revenge on her human, dad on behalf of her fairy mother, only to be punished by the mother with a tail. So this didn't give me, it didn't give me a lot of information, or it didn't really give me the whole tale.
No pun.
No pun intended.
No pun. Do you have, like, I think in Germany they're called Nyx, right?
So I didn't get into Germany.
Well, you mentioned German, right? I think yeah,
they all have different.
I believe I read something in my notes saying that they were called Nyx.
Okay.
But I wasn't sure. Like, I'm like, okay, that's totally different off of what I... So I didn't really dive into it. No pun intended. Lots of puns tonight. Yay, I love puns.
We're punny.
We're punny.
Fish.
Sorry.
So before we go into the origins, I just want to talk about the difference between a siren and a mermaid. Because I didn't know this. So Greek mythology, sirens were half woman, half bird creatures.
I saw that too.
Often confused as mermaids. Mermaids are morally ambiguous creatures. Sirens were said to be always malicious and dangerous, attracting sailors with their voices towards the hazardous rocky coast of their island.
And then there's harpies.
What are those? Oh.
Yeah.
So the origins of the mermaids, the reach is unknown. So like from the beginning of time, pretty much. Archaeologists have found accounts in Mesopotamian mythology of, oh my goodness, I can't read mine. Onis, a male fish god form over 5,000 years ago. The earliest mermaid legends appeared in Syria around the 1000 BC when the goddess Atargatis dove into the lake and took the form of a fish. The gods there would not allow her to give up her great beauty. Only her bottom half was to become a fish and the top half stayed in a human form. So she wasn't allowed to stay in her full beautiful human form and be down in the water as well. Archaeologists have found Atargatis. Oh, I'm horrible with these names.
It's so Greek. Like, everything is so Greek.
Figure on ancient temples, statues, and coins. So that's how far back it goes.
Yeah. It goes way, way back.
Yeah. I did stumble upon this video, and this gentleman, his name is Castle, and his I guess it's, what do you call a podcast when it's on a video?
It's a video podcast.
So it was called Black Dragon Tavern, and he was more Celtic, and I was really kind of disappointed because I thought he was talking about how the stories are passed down in his family, but he didn't really get into a lot of detail. I'm going to go look him up some more because he was saying in that video that he was going to start doing longer videos and get more in depth. Yeah. But he did bring up, and this is where I got into Celtic. So it's, he was talking about like it was between, for him, it was a mix of European and Celtic. He called them the Melusina. And it started the 12th century. They were either half serpent, half fish, half octopus, or half squid, and half woman.
Oh, awkward.
So well, it was either half serpent, half woman, half fish, half woman, half, yeah.
That explains the evil lady in Little Mermaid. She was half, yeah, she was half squid, right? Or octopus. Yeah, octopus. Octopus.
Melosa or Melodians, are pleasant to view, beautiful voices, and song. So he talked a lot about how the mermaids, or they called them the Melusina, were depicted as like beautiful creatures with beautiful voices. They were very musical. They weren't harmful. They were highly intelligent. And he did bring up, and he said that they had generational knowledge, which meant that the knowledge that they had was passed on through their DNA.
Oh, that's handy. I can see that happening. Because if you look at, let's take orcas, for example, there's different pods of orcas. And they're always led by a matriarch, usually the oldest female, like a grandmother or a great-grandmother. And as you see the younger generation, they start copying the behaviors of that pod. They're basically teaching each generation the way that that pod runs. So I think that is said for any whale pod or any dolphin pod. So it doesn't surprise me that the mermaids would be doing the same thing. So you have a family of mermaids, let's just say. They're going to pass down those traditions and that knowledge along, just like our ancestors will do it for us. Like, yeah, we know a lot of our familial history to a certain point, I guess, you know, without doing DNA testing and shit like that. So we, like, I try to pass down the traditions of my families to River, and I hope that she'll do that eventually with her kids if she has them. And I think it makes sense that they would do the same thing in mermaid lore or culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
And he did talk about how they were said to, so when fish have babies, it's like a lot.
Yeah.
Usually. Not like a human that would have, like, you know, one or a little bit.
Eat their babies like fish do?
He didn't talk about that. No. He said that there are dozens of tribes. They range in looks, but he said that he was always told they were alien-like in look. Their lives are short, he said. But that's where they have the generational knowledge. And so that's really interesting that you said that. So next I'm going to move into Celtic folklore, and it talks about Selkie, but you also talked about Selkie as well. So would you like to take over and then I will add in after?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I didn't intentionally go looking for this information. It just kind of fell in my lap. It seemed to have been connected to what I was looking into for some reason.
That's how that works sometimes.
But I came across this information on them because the Shetland, Orkney, as well as Faroese and Scottish mythology was connected to this mermaid lore. It just kind of intermingled. So Selkies, the origin is loosely based on the idea that they are the souls of men who have drowned themselves. Selkie is a word for seal in modern Shetland and Orkney. They're almost like a shapeshifter, where they are seals who can shed their skin and become human, and in some legends were created of cursed humans and were condemned to live as seal folk for past sin. There's a debate on whether or not they will shed their skin every 9 days or midsummer, but when they do, they are known to come ashore and they dance and make merry near caves or empty shores. If a human woman desires a Selkie man, she must go to the shore and shed 7 tears into the sea. That's, by the way, hard to say. Shed 7 tears.
Shed 7 tears?
Yeah.
Like she sells?
Yeah. So they must do, like, shed the tears, seven.
That's it.
Into the sea. And they've also said that if a girl goes missing, they often will say that she's gone to her Selkie lover. Which is, by the way, don't do that. She might have actually legit gone missing and then there'd be a crime and nobody's found her. Anyways, if a human man desires a Selkie woman, he must steal the seal skin and then she cannot go back to sea but marries him. And a lot of the times, even though she's happy or appears happy, she still longs for the sea. If she somehow manages to get her skin back, she would say goodbye to her human children and return to the sea right away.
So that ties into the succubus thing, too, of the changing genders. This would be the other one.
Yeah.
You know, stating both sides, going for that other part. So something's up if it's listed in so many different things and there's so many, you know, cross-sectionable comparisons.
Yeah.
So I did want to mention that documentary.
We will.
We're getting there.
So I have a couple other things. The one thing that I found was interesting is, the Selkie folklore is known across Ireland and Scotland.
Oh, I didn't see Ireland.
And it's said like, it's Ireland's, that's their version of a mermaid. So it wouldn't be what we would
classify.
Yeah, classify. But apparently they are irresistible. And there's even sightings relatively in modern times. I think that. Oh, so the one thing I did find where somebody, I guess, had said that the folklore came from when the Irish, the ancient Irish and Scottish came in contact with the Finnish or the Sami travelers, and they used seal sealskin coats and made kayaks out of sealskin. Oh. And so the sealskin would soak up water, like the kayaks would start to soak up water. So they would have to come ashore, dry everything out, and then go on their way. So they'd have to take off their coats, let their sealskin coat and kayaks dry off, and then they would get back in, put their coats back on, and go. So that kind of coincides with having to shed their skin to come ashore. Neat. Yeah, that's what I was like. That's where it came from. So that is it that I have on Selkies.
Are you done?
I am done.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Pass the baton.
So I have, mine's all over the place. I'm really sorry because finding stuff on this, the Norse stuff was not as easy. Like I said, my focus wasn't exactly 100% this week. But I did find that Norse gear is a Jotun or giant troll known as Master of the Sea. It's impossible that it is possible that his name could be pre-Norse. It's linked to gear of, to the sea giant Clair, which may not or may or may not have been the same as the old Irish sea god Lir. Gear had been depicted as having a long white beard, muscular body, and scaly and finned arms and legs.
He's super buff.
And lived in an undersea palace of coral walls and white sandy floors with multicolored seaweed as decoration.
He wasn't puny.
Shut up. Oh my god, stop.
You should see his boobies.
You guys can fuck the fuck off, okay?
He had the nicest boobies. They were very nice boobies.
Fuck around and find out, would ya? Hey. Anyways.
Boobies.
Sorry.
You're not helping him. Gear was married to Ran, a sea goddess who was set to trap seafarers with a net and pull them underwater to their deaths. They had 9 daughters who personified waves. The Nordic or whatever the hell I was supposed to be looking up. Mermaids are called Margies. And they can be malevolent and violent, but on the flip side, beautiful and helpful. They are worshipped by those who behold them, especially Viking sailors who see them as protectors and guides of the sea. Sometimes referred as water wife, reflects the intimate relationship between European man has with the sea, as well as their profound sense of love and respect for European traditions shown to women. In pagan, the Margi or mermaid are seen as giving an offering, but once the forceful intro to Christianity in Europe, they were seen as evil because the church condemned all water sprites as accursed beings. It's not uncommon for the bringers of Christianity to turn symbols of paganism into something of their own or by default evil. What they couldn't understand or figure out was automatically brandished as evil or devilish. Because of the lack of information on Norse mermaids, that's when it kind of merged into the Selkie stuff. But Nordic mermaids are very much the same as Scandinavian, Irish, and Celtic. In Slavic lore, they are associated with frog face, Vod in Yoi.
Say that 3 times fast.
I had to write it out the way it sounded. Vod in yeet. The song of a mermaid is said to be a bad omen and is predicting disaster at sea.
Sir, can I?
Yeah.
That seems to be like the common theme.
But you can't pronounce the names?
That and the fact, like, through all the different mythologies, it was they would lure sailors to their death with their song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the common.
Yeah.
The so common theme. That explains Celine Dion being picked for Titanic. She lured everybody to their deaths because nobody would want to listen to her.
I'm confused.
So you mentioned the documentary.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it before I shit all over it?
Well, I think we can shit on it together.
Okay. Do you want me to read what I have?
See, that's why you need the couple's toilet. I don't know if you saw that on the internet.
You made a point to show it to me.
Yeah, we'll get
I said I was not holding your hand while you're bearing down.
But before or after is fine.
But like who like
would you help me wipe? You're at a better angle.
Fuck yourself. Not with the toilet paper we're currently using.
So I found a documentary thing, and I think it was on YouTube. And that's where you start when it's the first mistake, right?
It was a Discovery and Animal Planet conjunction called Mermaid the Body Found.
Yeah. So I start going through this thing, and the guy's trying to, you know, state his point. And you can tell right away he's beating around the bush, because he doesn't even say the word mermaid until, like, you know, 27, you know, half an hour into it.
Give or take.
Yeah. Before that, he's like, oh, first I thought it was this, and then I thought it was that. But this doesn't have this, and that doesn't have that. And I'm looking at it going, I don't know, guys. It just seems a bit set up. Like, you're trying to mentally coerce someone into thinking that things are like that. And then any of the footage they had, they're like, oh, here's the body. I'm like, it looks like you went to the butcher and got a couple spare ribs from a pig, and you just kind of placed it underneath a hamburger patty or something, and then you rearranged other bones in another. Like, there was nothing there that would say, oh, this is even a marine animal. Nothing. Nothing. And then anytime they would show a mermaid, it was a really badly done animation, that kind of thing. And I even saw other ones later. They were so bad. So I, just because you look at it once, they start sending it to you all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, check out this mermaid thing. And it was a compilation of all these different mermaid sightings. I'm like, fake, fake, fake. That one's interesting. That one's fake. But yeah, go ahead. Spring it on them.
All right. As I was watching this, it struck me as very odd. And that the footage was as grainy as the alien autopsy special on Fox in the 1990s. It was actually less clear, to be honest. As I'm listening to them proclaim that NOAA scientists were involved in unearthing body parts that may or may not have belonged to a mermaid, it made me stop and Google some things. One of which were the names of the scientists. None of them, by the way, are actually real, nor are they associated with NOAA. The other was the absurdity of the notion that we could have been aquatic ape. Apes don't like water, for one thing. Gorillas especially prefer to stay dry, and they're vegetarian. These guys were like, no, they're not. They're eating all these things.
Oh.
I'm not done.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And they can walk bipedally when they want to or need to. And this claim that humans were the only apes that walked on two legs, which isn't true, because chimpanzees and orangutans can also do it when they choose to. So also, in just my reading a book by actual accredited scientists about the evolution of mammals from the time mammals were literally nothing but a nuclei to how we as humans have evolved, there was absolutely no mention of anything remotely similar to aquatic apes. And right away, I basically debunked this mockumentary, because that's exactly what this was. One of the beached whales, one of my favorite things, sorry, was the mention that two boys in 2004 managed to get a video on their cell phone of a strange body that washed up on shore with all the beached whales. But if you think about the technology back in 2004, phones had video, like really shitty video capability, if at all. And the ones that did sucked whale dick.
Yeah. But even still, they never even showed that video.
They never showed it, because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The only thing that this mockumentary managed to get actually right was accurately talk about the impact of the Navy sonar weapons that have on whales and dolphins, and the correlation between those sonar weapons and the mass beaching of these animals, and that's about it.
Yeah, which was already a known fact.
Right, and so as I was looking at more stuff, I found that according to the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, also known as NOAA, quote, no evidence of aquatic humanoids has ever been found, unquote.
Yeah, that's what I found that too.
You found that too? Christopher Columbus had reported seeing mermaids on his journey, saying that they were ugly and masculine. What he likely saw were dugongs or manatees, which are often mistaken for merfolk when all you get a glimpse of their tail. The other theory that is out there is that sailors are mistaking a whale behavior as that of a mermaid. Humpbacks and side whales have been known to do what is referred to as tread water feeding. It's a strategy that some whales use that have them tread water at the surface while leaving their huge mouths open while waiting for their prey to enter. And once the prey enters their mouths, they close them up quickly. The strange feeding strategy is said to have possibly inspired the legend of both mermaids and krakens.
Okay. Makes so the thing about the documentary that kind of made me go, yeah, I don't think so, is if you follow like evolution, they're like, okay, everything came from the sea, right?
No.
Well, like a lot of it that's what they're saying for evolution. A lot of it comes from the sea first before we dried out. You know, man crawls on to land, develops into the very first mammals, and, you know, continues on. I've heard that. So, yeah.
He started as a nuclei.
Yes.
Didn't mention anything about sea.
No, but like if you follow evolution, how that goes, you start out as a nuclei and then, you know, a multicelled organism and all the way up. But if all of that is usually done in the ocean, what they're saying from the original evolution theory. Anyway, so mankind's ancestors would have come out of the ocean, eventually evolved into apes and stuff like that. The thing about the documentary that pissed me off is that now you're suggesting we came out of the ocean, evolved into terrestrial mammals, then all of a sudden decided, no, we're going to go back to the ocean and retransition into a fish again? No, the odds of that are super unlikely, especially for like one planet, you know?
Yeah. So I'll do my little statement and then Nancy can add stuff or you can add stuff.
What do you got?
So it is in my humble opinion that mermaids are wishful thinking. We see them as these beautiful, sensuous water goddesses and we want that beauty to exist. We as humans simply imagine it to be so. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the belief that mermaids exist. For me, the science speaks volumes and yes, science can be subjective and opinionated. But evidence, like in true crime, is what is important and that is something we are absolutely lacking in this case. So no, I do not believe that they are real. I do like the idea of them.
Fair enough.
So for me, I believe, but I don't. So the thing is like, I know that scientists haven't mapped the full oceans.
That is
true. Oh, not even so close. So
you never know what could be out there. There very well could be mermaids or some. I don't think they look like the Disney version or the way that they've been fantasized. Because if you live underwater, you're going to look kind of scary like a fish. And if, you know, you wouldn't have nice flowy hair, like
No, fish aren't hairy.
So it doesn't make sense in the depiction of that we see, but I'm pretty sure there's got to be something out there. Because we haven't discovered everything.
And I absolutely agree with you on that. And like I said, right now, subjectively, for me, I need more evidence to support it.
Like not in the sense of like the Disney version.
Oh, definitely not that.
No. But I did watch, was it the one video I watched? And it was, there's a tribe, and I think it was either Africa or Kenya, or maybe the Philippines. Don't quote me. But they are deep, they spearfish underwater. And so they have done studies. Their spleens have over time enlarged to support them being underwater longer, and they spearfish underwater. They can hold their breath longer than like
that's other... like whales, because whales have bigger spleens that gives them buoyancy.
Yeah. So they can, yeah. So they've evolutionized. They have bigger, that tribe has bigger spleens, and they can stay underwater longer so that they have evolutionized that way so that they can fish better. And like that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
But I know I shared a video with you. It's all over TikTok about this. He's a deep sea diet fisherman and he's on a boat and you can see him at nighttime and there's two things going up the side and you can hear the singing. And so I figured it was whales and I sent it to Sarah and she's like, yeah, that's whales. And then I didn't know what would make, cause it didn't look like whales coming up the side of the boats.
No, I figured based on the length of it, oarfish. And oarfish are extremely long. They're sinuous, they're snake-like almost, and they have a big fin on top. And if there was, and depending where this guy was.
Yeah, like he didn't say where he was.
And he also looked like a crack addict, FYI. He's a little sketchy. But the oarfish could have been being hunted by whales or dolphins, like orcas or something. Depending. Orcas eat different things. They could be hunting them. And maybe that's what the sounds were going in correlation with the oarfish. So it could have easily have been orcas communicating with each other as they're hunting these animals or trying to figure out what these things are. And oarfish, I mean, I don't know how frequently they go up to the surface, but it's not uncommon that they do.
My question is when the when did the correlation between Atlantis and mermaids go together? Because, like, in the Disney stuff, that's where the mermaids live, is Atlantis. It's just because they're both aquatic, and Disney's like, you know what? It's just convenient to stick them together.
I think that was created by Hans Christian Andersen, who created the little... Was it him that created... Yeah, him who created the Little Mermaid. I think that's where that probably came into correlation. Because he was the one who wrote the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Originally.
It wasn't... The Disney
version. It was not the Disney version.
No.
Just like Cinderella and Snow White.
She wasn't watching the man. She was about to destroy the entire ship.
Yes. She was probably going to eat him for dinner.
Yeah. It was going to be great. She was going to use the new barbecue sauce that she just finished.
God, these mermen are strong as fuck. Look at the room. No wonder men are afraid of us.
Yeah, you guys are mean.
We can be.
I just think it's like if men made up the folklore of these women that are manipulative and this and that, don't trust women. It's like, really? Really? Just because we're smarter and we can think with both sides of our brain and not just one. By the way, that's scientifically proven. Not all men, but most.
I doubt that.
Most men are left-brained, where most women use both sides. And it's been proven that the hemispheres of a female brain link, grow together and join much earlier on during development and puberty. Men don't, the hemispheres of their brain don't fully join until they're 21.
Wow.
So it's a lack of information going back and forth.
Hmm.
She's also trained in brain injury, so she's quite familiar with brains.
Not fully trained. It's just very interesting. How the brain, how
she
the brain
likes
works.
Brains
more than the two of you, two of us,
with Matt and fava here. Beans.
Yeah, like yes, but I just think it's, to me, it's almost like men's way of diminishing women and putting women down by saying that, because there's not much talk about mermen, it's just mermaids.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, they'll bring you to your death.
That would be because there was no women allowed on ships, so the only ones that were going to be seducing you would be the mermaids. If there were women on the ships, then the mermen, I'm sure, would have attempted as well.
And you're telling me there was no gay men back then?
I'm wondering if they look like freaking Jason Momoa.
There was no mer horses either, just in case Jason we Momoa, wanted to go Aquaman. Down that road. Those are seahorses.
Also, when their left brain fuses with the right side, they become two nuts, right? Because that's where the brains are, right? Down
you,
there
you think you're funny.
I am funny because no. Nancy almost choked on her coffee, so she's bitches.
she's not laughing that hard, huh?
She's just trying not to. She's being polite.
She didn't make a mermaid at all this time.
I'm never fucking polite. I am at work, sorry. I am polite at work because I get paid to be polite and patient.
Me too, but until somebody leaves that lobby, I'm cursing them out.
So I have seen other fossils and stuff like that kind of look like, but not like, yeah, that's definitely. And then, you know, you always have your hoaxes. And so there's a lot of those.
I went to TikTok and I searched Area 51 and mermaids. And
as a combined search.
Yeah, just for shits and giggles. Because I was down this rabbit hole. I might as well merge a couple rabbit holes together.
Yay.
So I came across one video and I think I saved it. But it talked about how There is an aquatic Area 51 by the Bermuda Triangle, apparently above Atlantis, where they are housing mermaids.
Makes sense to me.
I'm not drunk enough for this shit.
And aquatic mythological creatures.
Yeah. Like
krakens?
Yes, like krakens. Yeah. Where do you think it came from?
Lucy, fuck off.
Butt krakens and...
Butt krakens.
Yeah, butt crackers. You got, those are the worst ones. They stink.
If you have a butt crack, and you might want to see a doctor.
Yeah. My butt's broke. It's got a crack in it.
You don't even have a butt.
I know. So, you know what I saw the other day?
Not a mermaid?
A guy mows lawn. I don't know. I had nothing.
If McDonald's sold octopus, would it be called a McCracken?
Maybe. If not, it should be.
The McCracken. I'm a little tired. Can
two
you tell?
All squid patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
Yeah. I'm usually in bed now that I work days. I'm in bed by like 10:30. And I was up till 2 a.m. Well, so I'm exhausted.
We are at 40 minutes, so we are good.
You didn't tell us what you thought.
Yeah.
What I think that the documentary pissed me off so much that I don't want to believe the other stuff. And there, like Sarah said, there's not a whole lot to go on to believe it at this point. Mm-hmm. But I didn't jump down any weird bunny holes about the Bermuda Triangle either. That might be something to look into. And have we even done the Bermuda Triangle yet?
No, we did Atlantis.
That was on the list, and if not, it should be. So yeah. I don't know if we want to.
Maybe in August, I can stick it in.
Yeah, stick it all the way in. Anyways, so yeah, you guys have a good night, and this podcast is dedicated to someone who actually sponsored the month of our expenses, so thank you very much, and we'll see the rest of you next week. Have a good night.